Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'a Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah, which represents the beginning of the new perek, the fourth perek, at the bottom of Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah deals with carrying of items from one place to another on Yom Tov, and one has to do so in such a way that it doesn't violate the spirit of Yom Tov. In other words, we don't want to create an impression of some type of commercial activity similar to the theme that we've seen in the last couple of Dapim. So the Mishnah says, Hamevi kade yayin mimokoim lamokoim, one who is conveying pitchers of wine from one place to another, lo yavim basal uvakupa, one should not load up a basket or a box with several pitchers, 3-4 pitchers in the box, and then carry them in such a fashion. That is the way one carries burdens during the week. Avol mevi hu al ksefo o lefonov. However, one can carry one or two pitchers on his shoulder, which is an amount that appears as necessary for Yom Tov. It's not a large quantity. It's the amount that you would use on the day. And therefore, you can carry the one or two pitchers on your shoulders or in front of you. V'chein ha-moylich es ha-teven. Similarly, one who is conveying straw. Straw is used as animal feed or as a fuel. Lo yafshil es hakupa lachorv. He shouldn't sling a box, a crate or carton of teven in over his back. Avo mevia hu biyado. Rather, he should carry it in his hand. U maschilin be aremas. We're at the top of daf lamed omad aleph. Be aremas hateven. Avoloi be eitzim shebemukse. The translation is as follows. One can start taking from a pile of straw. Rashi says at the top line of Lamed Omer Aleph, U'maschilin barei masateven lehesek. Hesek is for fuel, for burning purposes. V'afapi shelo zimno mibol yom. Even though you didn't designate it from before Yom Tov. V'lo hoya rogu lehesek mimeno. And it wasn't a pile of straw from which you ordinarily drew for your fuel purposes. Nevertheless, there is a leniency, if you will, and you're allowed to draw from this aremas hateven. V'hashta mashma delesle muktzah. Rashi emphasizes an important point that we'll discuss later in the Gemara, that it appears that the Tana is of the opinion that the restriction of muktzah is not applicable or is not binding. Avol lo min avolo be'etzim shebamukse. Rashi continues, Rechovo shachorei habotim. This is a reference to an open area in back of people's houses, kriya mukse. That area, the lot in the back of people's houses, is called a mukse. Al shem she mukse le'achor. It's something that's set off in back of the house. Ve'inuch nosim v'yotzim botodir. It's not an area that is entered upon on a regular basis. V'shom noisnim eitzim v'chodover she'en daito lito adzman ruba. It's a type of storage area where people will store wood or other items that they don't use frequently, that they leave there for a long time. V'mor poruch sefer l'reish. The Gemara will raise the seeming inconsistency between this phrase and the previous phrase. The hashta mashma di is le muks. At this point, it sounds like the Tana of the Mishnah is concerned with the restriction of Muksa. Now, as we continue into the Gemara, the topic is what we saw at the beginning of the Mishnah, the issue of carrying items on Yom Tov. So in our No Say, the topic heading that you see on the side of the Gemara, we've written Masa Shel Chafotzim B'Yom Tov, the transport, the conveyance of vessels or of items or articles on Yom Tov, Tzorach Shei B'Shinui. It has to be done in a changed fashion, in a fashion that's not usual during the weekdays. Again, to create a Yom Tov spirit, an impression that it's Yom Tov, to create a distinction between Yom Tov and the weekday. Tana. Im e'efshar l'shanois mutar. So we have this brief Tanaic source that says that if you can't do it b'shinui, you can't carry things in a changed fashion, it's still okay. Rashi explains, v'im e'efshar l'shanois kagon shezimein orchem harbe. Imagine a person that invited a lot of guests. V'tzorch lovi harbe b'yachad. And he needs to bring a lot at one time for Yom Tov purposes. So mutter, it would then be mutter. For example, he needs a lot of wine at his meal, and guests are coming. So he doesn't have the luxury of time of making several trips to bring additional jugs of wine. So he can load several up into one carton and carry them in one shot that way. Even though that is the normal way of transporting things during weekdays, often for commercial purposes. Askin Rava B'Mechuza. In the next few lines, the Gemara discusses how Rava made a rule about how to carry things on Yom Tov in a changed fashion. In other words, there's if people are accustomed to carrying something one way, he provides a suggested change for each one. So we'll see, it will become much clearer as we do this in the Gemara. So Rava established in Mechuza. Mechuza was the name of his town where he was the rabbi. Didoru b'duchako. People who ordinarily carried it with the duchako fashion. Lidru b'raglo. They should carry with the riglo fashion. What if someone was regular in carrying in the Rigla fashion? So the Dor b'Rigla, Lidru b'Agra. The suggested change would be now they should carry in the Agra fashion. And, of course, Rashi explains each one of these drachim, these different ways, and we will see that shortly in the Rashi. But first, let's finish the next couple of suggested changes. The Doro Ba'agro, if you are accustomed to carrying in the Agro fashion during the week, so on Yom Tov, Lidru Ba'achbo. The Doro Ba'achbo, Nifros Sudro Iluya. And if you're accustomed to carrying in the Achbo fashion, so on Yom Tov, spread a cloth over the item you are carrying. Now let's go over each one of these in the Rashi. The Doro Ba'duchaka. Rashi says, Masui she'odom yochid noisal ksefo b'choil b'torach. It's a type of burden that a person carries on his shoulder during the weekdays with a certain amount of exertion. Im bo loses oisu b'yom tov l'tzorach yom tov. If on Yom Tov he has to carry that same burden for Yom Tov purposes, kagon chovis osak molik peiros. For example, a jar or a sack filled with fruits. Yisoeno b'yom tov b'rigla. On Yom Tov, so don't throw it over your shoulder. Don't carry it on your shoulder, but rather carry it with the rigla. And what's that? Asar. Asar is a type of, it's essentially a pitchfork. Shikorin fork. See, even in French, you see a word like we say in English. Kedarke noise melach limkor. This carrying packages or sacks on pitchforks was something customary for those who were carrying salt for sale purposes. But neishet sarch lishanos. The reason for carrying it the rigla on Yom Tov is because the need for a change. The recommended changes are such that at least we strive to have the change in the carrying method to an easier method. The osur zeh, the fork method, the pitchfork method, is noach ulaseis bo masa koved, is it's easier to carry heavy burdens this way. And when he attaches a jar or a jug to the pitchfork instead of carrying it on his shoulder, in fact it's easier to carry it this way. Now let's say a person during the weekday was carrying in the normal way with a rigla. What's the recommended change? So Rashi, the Gemara had said, Rava had established to carry it ba'agro. Now what's the agro method? Rashi explains, Lidru ba'agro, Yisa'ua b'yomta b'shnei b'nei odom b'moit al kisfehem, Dainunami shinu lahokel. Attach the package to a pole, and it's carried now on the shoulders of two people. That's easier than the pitchfork method on an individual's shoulder. Now, let's say you're talking about a type of burden that was ordinarily carried ba'agro anyway during the weekday. How is it to be carried on Yom Tov? So the recommended change is ba'achpo. And what does that mean? So Rashi explains that it's a pole that's not on their shoulders, but rather held in their hands. But now Rashi here says, even though this does not represent a shinui lahokel, a change in the direction of making it easier, nevertheless, it's also not increasing the amount of exertion either. The next stage in the Gemara had been, if they were accustomed to carrying it ba'achpo, that was the pole held in their hands, how do they now do it b'shinui on Yom Tov? So the Rashi, the Gemara had said that they place a cloth, a light cloth that doesn't add to the weight at all, and that so that placing the cloth over the burden that they're carrying will be the shinui. The Gemara goes on to say that if it's not possible to do this change, he doesn't have, let us say, a piece of cloth to cover whatever, so then it's mutter without that. And that's what the Gemara says, v'im lo efshur shori, if it's not possible, because he doesn't have a cloth, so it's mutter as is. Di omar mar, as we saw before, im efshur l'shanos mutter. If for some reason we saw a different circumstance before about he had a lot of guests, so he couldn't carry the jugs of wine one by one. We allowed the normal weekday way of carrying. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a long question marking, a she'ela. We will notice a certain style or theme developed throughout the Gemara, and that will appear by focusing on the diamonds that you see. And if you scan down the page, you'll see a number of these. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have a diamond featured, and we've noted Arba Dalid Dugmois Shel Halochas, four examples of Halochas Shanoshim. Loi nizhorim bohem uvecholzos anu shoyskim velo mochem bohem, where people aren't careful about something, and we'll see what that is, and yet we remain silent. The four topics we've listed them: number one, shinui b'masa, the topic of carrying in a changed fashion. The second topic deals with isur metapchin v'chulei b'shabbos, the rabbinic prohibition of clapping hands and slapping one's thigh on Shabbos in terms of keeping a tune, a beat. Number three, yeshiva etzel lechi, people who would sit at the entrance of a an alleyway, and when we speak of alleyways, we in Hebrew it's called a movui. It's essentially a dead end street that's surrounded on three sides by houses and courtyards. The fourth side enters a Rishus HaRabim. At the entrance to a Mavui, in order to make a distinction between it and the public thoroughfare, even though on a Torah level it already is distinguished, it is distinct. It's a Rishus HaYochid, and the thoroughfare is a Rishus HaRabim, a public thoroughfare. Nevertheless, the Rabbonon insist on an additional sign to denote the distinction, and that's accomplished by a pole that's set up at the entrance. It's called a lechi. We don't want people sitting at the pole entrance point of the movui with holding things in their hands, because they might easily roll out from your possession into the public thoroughfare, and one can forget momentarily and end up carrying it from the public thoroughfare back into the alley, and that would be a Shabbos violation. So there's a rabbinic restriction of sitting at that entrance point. And the fourth topic involves Tosefes Yom Kippurim, the need to start the Yom Kippur observances a few minutes before the actual onset of Yom Kippur. Birtz Hashem, we'll see these topics, each one at its own location in the Gemara as we go on. So we start with the question. Omar le Rav Chonon bar Rovol Ravashi. Omar Rabbonon, the Rabbonon have said, Kamo de efshu lishnuye mishanina biyomatova. As much as a person can make a change, we make the change on Yom Tov. The Hohani Noshi, the Komalian Chatzvayu Maya Biyomatova. We notice there are women that fill their jugs, Chatzvayu is their jugs, with Maya, water, on Yom Tov. The Lo Komeshanyon, and they don't do it, they don't carry their jugs in any way different than they would during the weekday. V'lo amrinon luhu v'lo midi, and we do not say anything to them. Omar le, the answer is forthcoming. You'll notice it's a long answer. So Rav Ashi says, mishum d'lo efshar, because they are in the position of what we noted before, they can't make a change. Hey cholevet, what should they do? What would you recommend they do? If they were accustomed to filling in large jugs, do you want them to fill in small jugs? But you end up losing out on Yom Tov, in Yom Tov terms, if you make that change. You're going to require them to make more trips back and forth to their water supply if they're carrying in small jugs. They have to make several trips back and forth. If they were accustomed to, if they were carrying on in small jugs, do you want them on Yom Tov now to carry in big jugs? You're causing them to carry a heavier load than they ordinarily would carry. So it's you're increasing their efforts in that sense, and on just because it's Yom Tov, and we don't want to increase. Tichse benaksimo, do you recommend that they should cover their jugs with a wooden lid? Zimnin denofil vasilasiye. Afraid sometimes these lids will fall off and they'll have to, they'll end up having to carry them. Tiktere, if you recommend that they tie the lids on, zimnin demafsik vasi lemiktere. They might, the knot or the tie, the connection might snap, and they'll have to tie it. And tying a lid back onto the container would be an isur malacha, be prohibited. It's under the category of making knots, and especially in this case, you're making a knot for the purpose of repairing the connection. Hence, something prohibited to do on Yom Tov. Tifros Sudra Iluya. Do you recommend that they cover their open jugs with a cloth? That's not a good suggestion either. Zimin dematmish b'maya. The cloth might fall into the jug, become soaking wet. V'osi l'day schita. And they'll end up wringing out the cloth. And that's prohibited on Yom Tov. Hilkoch lo efsher. Hence, there is no suggested change that these women can make. And hence, we don't object to what they are doing. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to be continuing with this theme of our remaining silent in the face of seeming problematic behavior. And on the side, under where the bow tie form appears, we note Gimel Nehamikrim Dileah, three of the items we mentioned, the cases we mentioned just before in the introduction, the Onu Omrim, where we remain silent, even though objectionable activity is taking place with our knowledge, on the grounds of Mutav Shu Shogigin Vayu Mezidim. Better for people to continuing their wrongful behavior in a state of ignorance than our pointing out to them their wrongful behavior, and they're not listening to us, and then would be in violation of the mitzvah, of the law, of the halacha, knowingly. And a wrongful violation unknowingly is, of course, a better situation than being a deliberate violator of halacha. So we now continue. Amale Rova Barav Chonin Le'abaye. Note the question lasts a couple lines and it'll be followed by a long response. So Rova Barav Chonin says to Abaye, Tanan, we have a teaching which says, Ein metapchin vein mesapkin vein meraktin. One is not to clap hands, one is not to slap his thigh in keeping a beat, nor is one to dance on Shabbos. And the reason for that is because that is those actions are associated with music. That's why we mentioned it before, keeping a beat. And in associating with music, there are also musical instruments. And if one, let us say, were playing a musical instrument on Shabbos, take for example a guitar, and the guitar strings often snap, they become dislocated or whatever, and the need for repair becomes imminent. The fear is that if we allow the use of musical instruments on Shabbos, you'll kind of end up coming to repair them. And that would be a Torah level violation, the prohibition of repairing vessels. So the halacha is on the books, we'll say, not to clap, not to dance on Shabbos. Vil itna, Rashi the Gemara goes on, deko chazino da avdin hochi. Yet we see many people clapping and dancing, v'lo amrina lehu v'lo midi. And we don't speak up, we let them continue clapping on Shabbos. Omar le, so Avaye responds, uletamech, according to you and your question, ha di Omar, that which we're tahadim a rova, lo leisiv inish apuma de lechaya, a person is not to sit at the entrance to a mavoi. Puma is the entrance, de lechaya are the upright poles, the lechi, that are positioned at the entrance to the alleyway that we discussed earlier. Why does Rava say not to sit there? Tilma megander lechefetz v'asil esiyei. There's a fear that an item that you might be holding there, after all, the mavui is a private domain, and with the lechi there, one is allowed to carry in the alley. But the fear is that an item that you might be holding will roll, megander is roll out of your hands into the public thoroughfare, the osilasu, and you'll come to bringing it back in. And it's Shabbos, and that's prohibited. So therefore there's a law not to sit at the entrance of the mavui. V'ho hani noshi v'shaklin chatzvayu v'azlon v'yasvin apuma de mavua. But are there not women that we notice take chatzvayo, their barrels, and sit on them at that very spot, at the entrance to the mavua, the mavui, the alleyway, the lo amrina luhu velomidi, and we don't speak up. So how do you justify that silence? Elohanoch lohem l'Yisrael. Leave them be. Leave the Jewish people be. Mutav shu shoyigin. Don't speak up. Better they should be violators unknowingly. The al yu mezidim, and not be knowing violators. That's how you will justify our remaining silent in the case of the women that sit at the entranceway to the mavuas. They're not going to listen to you anyway. That's why we say remain silent. Better they should continue in their wayward behavior unknowingly than our speaking up, and they're still not listening to us. Hochanami, so too with regard to the clapping and the dancing. Hanoch lem l'Yisrael mutav shishogin v'al yumezidin. Better they should be in a shogeg mode of violation than a mazid mode. V'hani mili b'derabonon. The Gemara attempts to qualify this approach only with regard to rabbinic rulings. Like we mentioned before, the dancing and the sitting at the entrance of a mavui, those are rabbinic restrictions. Avol b'doraisa, lo, but if you're dealing with a Torah level type violation, there we wouldn't remain silent if you see violators. And the Gemara to that says, velohi, and that's not so. Lo shno b'doraisa, velo shno b'drabonon, loy amrinon, lehu velo midi. There is not to be any distinction between the Reis and the Rabbonon. We will remain silent. Once again, if you are in a situation where you see people violating and you know that they are not going to listen to you, so better remain silent, even if there is a Torah-level violation at stake. Deha Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Doraisa hu. The need to add on to Yom Kippur. In other words, to start the Yom Kippur observances of no eating, no drinking, and the other restrictions of Yom Kippur, no malacha, prior to the actual onset of the day. That need, the need to add a couple minutes, is a Torah level expectation. And that is based on a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, "Ve'inisem es nafshesechem b'tish'ah," and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th of Tishrei. In truth, Yom Kippur is on the 10th of Tishrei. So how can the pasuk say on the 9th? So in our context, even though there are more drushes on that topic elsewhere, in our context we learn from that even on the 9th of Tishrei, a little bit of the 9th is also to be observed with Yom Kippur restrictions. And yet, the Gemara continues, V'achli v'shasu ad shechashecha, and yet people continue eating till actual darkness. When, you know, they eat up right up till Yom Kippur, not observing Tosefes. Tosefes means adding. Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. V'lo amrino luhu v'lo midi, and we remain silent. So you see from this example that even in matters that are d'oraisa, we remain silent. This topic, by the way, has more details to it than we are revealing over here. And for that, we certainly advise people to look into more commentaries than that which we're saying right now. We continue, though, in the Gemara. First, we glance at the side. We have a no-say-a topic heading. Mahi emdas ha-mishna legabi muktza. What is the Mishnah's approach, our Mishnah's approach, regarding muktza? Muktza is a rabbinic realm of halacha, where the idea is that things that were not designated for Yom Tov use, not prepared for Yom Tov use, are not, or where the owner didn't have in mind to draw from whatever, then it's off limits. That is, of course, if you subscribe to the concept of mukta. If you don't, so then there is no definitive need of preparing something for Yom Tov use. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a number of markings. The double underline is used to highlight Hadgoshas Reisha V'Seifa D'Masnisen, to highlight the phrases found in the what's called the Reisha of the Mishnah and the Seifa, the earlier part and the latter part. Truth be told, we're dealing with the last phrase of the Mishnah, but it has two parts to it, hence the first part of this last phrase is called the Reisha, and the very end of the Mishnah is called the Seifa. Of course, we're referring to the what's the end of the Mishnah, which you can see on the top line of this Amud. We should note that there are two Lishonos. There's an Ikla de Amri of this Ikla de Masni Lo Aseifa, that's a second Lashon that you'll see later, and that you can we highlight with Roman numerals 1 and 2. We'll notice also the house marking which accompanies these Roman numerals. These are Shnei Lishonos Hafuchos. Notice the houses appear in opposite directions, so in our note on the side we say these are two opposite Lashon Shel Rav Kahana, Maschilin versus Ein Maschilin, Ba'oitzer Tchila. An Oitzer is a storage area where items are stored up, whether it be sometimes it's wood, straw, and the like. An Oitzer, by its name, a storage area, is something that you don't draw from on a regular basis. So, can you draw from an Oitzer on Yom Tov? Let us now look at the Gemara, Roman numeral number 1, the double underline, Umaschilin Barema Sateven. Omar Rav Kahana, Zoysimeres, this tells us Maschilin Be'oitzer Tchila, that on Yom Tov you can start drawing from an Oitzer, even though you weren't drawing from that before Yom Tov. It was a storage area. Rashi explains underneath the Gemara text, second line under the Gemara text, Be'otzer bedavar ha'atzur, something that's stored. Shehoya mukze le'otzer le'zman aruch, it's set aside for being stored for a long time. Kahai gavno, destamo otzerin, also le'behemo, like is the case with the straw that's stored away for animal feed. Now the Gemara continues. Money, who is the author of our Mishnah that would say you can draw on Yom Tov from a storage area, even though it wasn't designated for Yom Tov use? Rebbe Shimon He. This would be in accordance with the famous Tana and his opinion, Rebbe Shimon, who does not hold from Muktzah. Emo Seifa. We continue with the Seifa of the Mishnah, the latter part, the second half of the end. Avoloi be'etzim shebemukta. One cannot draw on Yom Tov, even though one is allowed to burn wood as fuel on Yom Tov for cooking, for baking purposes. One cannot draw from wood in the mukta, in the storage area. So you see a restriction regarding storage areas. I saw on the Rabbi Yehuda the Islay mukta. So this phrase of the very same Mishnah claims that there is Muktzah, and that is in conformity to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda disagrees with Rebbe Shimon. So we have a Mishnah that seems to be internally at odds with itself. Either there is no Muktzah restriction according to the Mishnah, or there is. The Gemara answers, Hacha, the Eitzim restriction is, it's not talking about wood that would be used as fuel, but here, ba'arzi ba'ashuchi askinan, we're talking about boards that are boards of wooden beams that are used for construction purposes that a person would never think to use as fuel. The mukze machmas chisorin kis, that is set aside as something of value that a person wouldn't use for any purpose other than what it's designed for, namely building material. V'afilu Rabbi Shimon Modi, even Rabbi Shimon, who is relaxed, tolerant with regard to the concept of mukza, even he acknowledges certain types of mukza, as is the case with mukza machmas chisoron kis, something that was set aside because of its value and its, let's say, non-use for other things, or rather, we can say, for, because of its designated specific use, so that even Reb Shimon will agree you can't draw from for fuel purposes. Iko demasni lo asefa. There are those that teach Rav Kahana as a comment on the Seifa, Avolo bi'etzim shibamukta. The Mishnah said one cannot draw from the wood in the storage area. Omar Rav Kahana Zosamer, so this tells us, Ein maschilin ba'otzer tchila, that on Yom Tov one is not to start his initial drawing from the Otzer, from the storage area, at the outset, on Yom Tov. Money, so according to whom does this Mishnah teach? Rebbe Yehuda hi. This then reflects Rebbe Yehuda's approach. The Is Lei Muktzah, that holds from the concept of Muktzah, the things that were not designated for Yom Tov use cannot be used. Emo Reisha, well then let's check this out in light of the earlier phrase, Maschilin Barei Masateven, that one can draw from a straw storage area. Ason Rabbi Shimon, the Lesle Mukta. So this very Mishnah would suggest that there is no Mukta restriction in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. So how can you have one Mishnah, in fact one sentence, authored with two opposite opinions, two conflicting opinions? The Gemara answers, no, there isn't any conflict here. Hosam betivna sarya. The Mishnah that speaks about the tevin and the resha, the straw, it's rotting straw. And rotting straw is not stored away for animal feed. Its purpose is to serve as fuel. And as such, even Rabbi Yehuda will concede you're allowed to draw from that. It's not something stored away. It's a pile. It's a pile or of rotting straw that a person uses on an ongoing basis as fuel. Tivno sarya hachazi latino. What do you mean? What do you mean that it's designated to serve as fuel? Is it not fit to be used in the making of cement? Tino tit cement. No, it's not. The isbe koitzim, we're talking about rotting straw that has thorns in it, and because of that it's not suitable to make from it cement, which needs to be kneaded or trampled by foot, and the thorns would injure anyone involved in that. So according to the second lashon of the Gemara, the Mishnah represents Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. According to the first Lashon of Rav Kahana, the Mishnah represents the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. We continue on Omid Beis with a new Mishnah at the top. Ein noitlim eitzin min hasuka, elo min hasomuch lo. Here we first translate, and the actual meaning will be discussed extensively in the Gemara itself. The translation is, one is not to take wood from a sukkah, but rather from that which is next to it. To set up the Hava Mina, we'll say, we look at Rashi at the top. Ein noit lenetzim in sukkah kagoyin pesach obatzeres v'yoshev besukkah begino v'pardes. We're talking about a non-mitzvah sukkah, a booth, rather, that one would sit in on Pesach or on Shavuos, where he sits in his garden or in his grove of trees. For comfort purposes, that's where he sits and he eats in that booth. Ein noitlin eitzim in asuka elamin asomuchlo hashda mashma. At this point, we think it means imhu of shenosnu konim harbe. If the sukkah is associated with the word schach at this point. And let's say he made a rather thick roofed sukkah, a lot of reeds or beams on the top. Mutu lito mehem. So the Mishnah, when it says, Ein noitlim eitzim min asukkah elo min asomuchla, the thinking right now is the somuchla means next, it means it's a thick roofed sukkah. So he's taking, we're allowing him to take beams off the thick part of the roof. Uva gemara porach hasasar ola, but is he not destroying the roof? He's diminishing from the roof. The kevan debatle lagabi schach kol porta deshokel minei stirahu. Since he originally made a thick roof, so all the beams or reeds that he placed on the top were for the roof purposes. Drawing from them is in fact drawing from the roof. You're reducing the roof. That is a malacha called stira, which is prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Mishnah is hard to understand. How can we give license to taking from a thick roofed sukkah the beams or reeds that are on the top, take from there and use it as fuel on Yom Tov? The Gemara, my shno min hasukkah dolo, the kososar ohalo. What is different about the sukkah itself that you acknowledge you cannot draw wood from the sukkah itself? Min hasomuchlo nami kososar ohalo. Just like from the sukkah itself, you can't take because that would be tantamount to stira, ruining the ohalo, the structure. Min hasomuchlo is the same problem. So why does the Mishnah justify that? Amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel, my somuch l'defanos. The first of two pshatim is somuch doesn't mean like we thought it meant from the roof. Somuch l'defanos. The Rashi explains somuch l'defanos konim hanizkofim svivos l'defanos. These are reeds set up around the walls, the outer walls of the sukkah. Kevon shelo nergu im hadoifen, since they haven't been woven in to be part of the wall itself, lo batli legabi doifen, they're not botel, they don't become nullified to the wall itself, and therefore it's not like as if you were taking down the wall itself. That would certainly be usur as an example of stira. V'eino doime l'samuch l'schach. The case of these beams leaning against the walls of the sukkah are not like the case of somuch l'schach. Shaschach eino orug. In the case of the schach, the reeds that are placed on the top aren't interwoven to begin with. L'fikoch hakol shoveh elyon ketachta on schachu. Therefore, all the layers of beams that are on the top have the same status. They all form the schach. However, in the case of the walls, since there's a distinction between the walls themselves of the sukkah and these reeds or beams that are somuch lo, therefore you're allowed to draw from the beams leaning up against the side of the sukkah, being that they're not woven in together with the rest of the wall material, they're not considered as part of the actual wall. Hence you're allowed to take them. And that's what the Mishnah meant when it said min hasomuch lo. Number two, Rav Menashe Yomar Afilu Temo B'She'ein Somuch L'Dfanas. The expression Nasomuch L'Mishnah isn't referring to something, beams leaning up against the walls of the sukkah, but rather it's a reference back to the case of the Schach. Ki Tanya Ahi, the Mishnah, our Mishnah that allows taking off from the top of the sukkah and not being in violation of stira, but asuraisa. The Mishnah is talking about a sukkah that's covered with bundles. Bundles of reeds. Bundles that were never untied. Therefore, since he is removing, in effect, bundles, tied bundles of reeds that were placed on the top of the sukkah, those bundles of reeds aren't considered part of the schach. Rashi says, Midilo hitur ogdon, from the fact that he didn't untie these bundles that he's removing, lo batlinu legabi schach, they don't become nullified to the schach. Elo lahatzniyom sham, rather, they were placed on the top of the sukkah, these bundles of reeds, for storage purposes. So you're allowed to take them off on the Yom Tov, and that's what min hasomuch la in the Mishnah means, according to Rav Menashia. Toni Rabbi Chia bar Yosef kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Chia teaches the following source in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan: Ein noitlum eitzim min asukel min hasomuch la. For Rabbi Shimon Matir, it would seem to say that Rabbi Shimon allows to take from the schach itself. V'shovin, there is agreement, b'sukkas hachag, b'chag sh'asura, when you're dealing with the sukkah of the holiday of Sukkis, that it would be usur, even on Chol HaMoed. We say even on Chol HaMoed, which is a time where there's no isur malacha of stira, of undoing a structure, nevertheless, the wood, the reeds, throughout the holiday of Sukkot are usur. Vim hisna aleh hakol lefi tano. If, however, he made a stipulation before making the sukkah, and he made a stipulation that he wants to draw from the wood, so the stipulation helps. The details of this source will be discussed as the Gemara unfolds. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Shimon Matir, the Ha'akos Asarala. In the source we just read, it said that Rabbi Shimon allowed drawing from the wood of the Schach. But is that not a problem of being soiser, the structure, stiras ael? Undoing, diminishing from a structure is an isur malacha, prohibition, prohibited activity on Yom Tov. So how can Rav Shimon allow that? The diamond appears with a double underline, which highlights Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's name. On the side of the Gemara, you can see under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we've written, Shnei Shlovim. The diamonds represent two stages. Kidei lahavin, ha de Rav Shimon mati lukachas eitzim min aschach. How can Rav Shimon allow taking wood from the schach? V'holkos esrola, is he not guilty of stiras oyel? So the Gemara answers: Number one, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, hocha besukkah nefeles askinon. The source is talking about a sukkah that fell on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon Latameh, Rabbi Shimon's heter, his allowance, his permission is consistent with his thinking elsewhere. The less lay muktzah. Rabbi Shimon does not hold from the muktzah restriction. Now, the muktzah restriction, we didn't explain this before, but muktzah is defined by what the state of whatever it is at Bein HaShemoshes, when Yom Tov sets in at dusk. At that point, we look at the item. Well, in the case of the sukkah that fell on Yom Tov, when the holiday was setting in, it was still standing. The sukkah was still standing. So in muksa terms, if you hold for muksa, so then the wood would be unavailable, because at the onset of the holiday of Yom Tov, the sukkah wood was still part of the structure, and you had no access to it. Taking from the wood at that point would have been a violation of stira, of destroying a structure. So the source or where in which we see Reb Shimon allows this is not a surprise to us, because this is Reb Shimon Letamei. Reb Shimon is consistent with what he holds in general. The Lesle Muktzah, he doesn't hold from the Muktzah restriction, the Sanya, and an illustration of that is in the following source, Moser HaShemen Shebener V'Shebekara, Osir Rebbe Shimon Matir. Moser HaShemen is the remaining oil after a wick that was fueled by oil goes out, when the wick goes out, oftentimes there is oil left in the lamp or in the bowl. So the Tanakhama says that leftover oil is usur, because at the time Shabbos set in, or at the time Yom Tov set in, that oil was usur. You had no access to it, so it remains usur even after the wick goes out. Why didn't you have any access to it at the time that Shabbos set in? The reason is simply because drawing from oil at that point would have resulted in the usur, the prohibition of extinguishing the lamp. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon said, look, the leftover oil, once the wick goes out, once the flame goes out, that leftover oil is allowed for your own use. If you want to pour it over your salad, you can do it. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold for muksas, so that even though at Bein HaShmoshes you had no access to that oil, that is not a restriction for Rabbi Shimon. So what does Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok tell us? That the case of the Sukkanoi Feles is Rabbi Shimon, like he says, by the Moisar HaShemen Shebener. Again, that Rabbi Shimon, in allowing you to draw from the wood of the fallen sukkah, is consistent with that which Rabbi Shimon says, he's allowing you to draw from the oil of the extinguished oil lamp. Mi domi. The Gemara feels that they are not comparable cases. Hasam, in the case of the oil left over from the oil lamp, I can see Rabbi Shimon and his reason for allowing is because Adam Yoshev Mitzapa Emosaitich Benero. It's on a person's mind. He knows there's a limited amount of fuel. He knows the candle's going to go out in the course of Shabbos, with all of that, we'll call prior knowledge, so his mind is on the oil. That is why Rabbi Shimon allows access to it, because you had das for it, even though at Bein HaShmoshes you couldn't have taken from it. But this is Rabbi Shimon's leniency. However, his leniency is based on the fact that the owner had his mind on it. Hacha. In the case of the sukkah that fell on Yom Tov, Adam Yeshiv Metzap Emosai Tipol Sukkah, does a person sit there and wait for the time that his sukkah, for the moment that his sukkah is going to fall down? Of course not. So there's no das, there's no thinking of the wood to begin with in the case of the sukkah. So how could you say that this is Reb Shimon Letame? Reb Shimon's leniency in the case of the oil, that's understandable. But to extend that to the case of the sukkah, that's hard to understand. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Again, stage two in understanding what he is saying. Hocha besukkah ru'ura askinon. The sukkah that Rav Shimon is lenient and allows you to take the wood is a sukkah that was shaky, was ru'ura, it was shaky, from Erev Yom Tov, the Me Esmol Daite Uliya, from Erev Yom Tov, from prior to him, his mind was already on it. So since his mind was on it, even though at Bein HaShmoshes it was still standing, so that he didn't have access to it at the Bein HaShmoshes point, but Rabbi Shimon does not hold from Muksa. So the fact that there was a Bein HaShmoshes restriction, that doesn't faze Rabbi Shimon. As we continue in the Gemara, we quote from the source above. An arrow appears to the immediate right-hand side, help you notice where this is from. V'shoven b'sukkas achag b'chag she'asur. There is agreement, even Rabbi Shimon agrees, that with regard to the sukkah of the sukkas holiday, that the wood is osur. V'im hisna aleha, if he made a stipulation, hakol lefi tano'o. Then we follow his condition that he states in his stipulation and allow him to use it. Of course, we're being very general in our translation, waiting for the Gemara to fill in the details. Before we go into the Gemara itself, we glance at the side under our No Say Mivneh heading. A triangle appears in the course of the Gemara in two different directions. This represents a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara. With the point facing upwards, these are kushios, these represent questions. The inverted triangle with the point facing downwards, tshuvos, responses. So as you scan down till the end of the Omid, you'll see that we're in a question-answer mode. We continue with our note on the side. Haim tnai moyol vahatir atse sukkah. Does a condition, a stipulation, help to allow one to use the wood of a sukkah? Number one, sukkah di alma. That's a non-sukkis holiday booth. And number two, sukkis hachag, the sukkah of Yom Tov, the holiday of sukkis itself. A second point that will be dealt with, Hevdel Bitnai Kematir Bein Esro Shemoyel L'Sukkis Achag Sheinemoyel. We'll see a distinction made between a sukkah and an esrog regarding conditions made before the holiday sets in. Now the Gemara. Umi Mahani Ba Tanoi. Does a tanai actually help for enabling one to benefit from the wood of the sukkah? You'll notice that we have a long question at hand. Umi mahani bo tanai? Does a tanai help? V'oma rav sheshes mishum Rabbi Akiva. Minayin le'atzei sukkah she'asurin kol shiva. From where do we know that the wood of a sukkah, of a sukkis holiday sukkah, is osur all 7 days? All 7 days, it means including Chol HaMoed. During Chol HaMoed, so there's no isur per se of stira, but yet the wood of the sukkah is osur. Shenemar agasois shivas yomim lashem. That's a posuk. Vitanya or Buda ben Maseira Oimer minayin shekashem shechal shem shamayim ala chagiga. From where do we know that just like shem shamayim is expression referring to holiness, something that's dedicated as a sacrifice gains kedusha status, and that has that is off limits for personal use. So just like shame shamayim, just like this sanctity level holiness sets upon a chagiga, the holiday sacrifice that everyone brings to the Beis Hamikdash, kach chal shame shamayim al hasukkah, so too an element of holiness sets upon the sukkah of sukkis. From where do we know that? Talmud Lomar, Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yomim Lashem. And we use some dashed underlining. Ma Chag Lashem. Chag is a reference to the Chagiga. Just like the Korban Chagiga is Lashem, is sanctified. Af Sukkah Lashem, so too the wood of the Sukkah is, in a manner of speaking, has on it a type of sanctity. That being the case, so a condition isn't going to hold, isn't going to allow me to take from it. Omar Rav Menashe Brei Derava. So Rav Menashe explains that this phrase that we saw above, Vim Hisna Olav Hakol Afi Tano, that a condition helps, the Seifa Son L'Sukkah Di Alma. That is a reference to a mundane sukkah, a non-holiday, non-sukkis holiday sukkah, a type of hut that people sit in, as we saw before, in the Rashi at the top line, that people might sit in on Pesach or on Shavuos. So regarding a sukkah like that, a tenai will help, a condition will help. And again, let's just review. We mentioned earlier that we are talking about a sukkah that fell, so that the only problem would be a muktzah problem, namely that at the entrance of the day it was inaccessible because it was part of a structure, but once it falls, the iser of stira no longer applies. The only problem is that it was not accessible when Yom Tov set in. So regarding that, we say that the tenai, the condition you make, that if it becomes accessible, I want to be able to draw from it, that works. So Rav Menashe is telling us that the seifa, namely that phrase, we have a little star helping you to refer back to where you saw it earlier, that is a reference to the sukkah of non-sukkahs. In other words, not the sukkah holiday sukkah. The Gemara continues, Aval sukkah de mitzvah lo mahani bo tno. But a sukkah that's built for the mitzvah of sukkahs, on the holiday of sukkahs, that is usur all 7 days. And a tenai will not help. A stipulation, a condition that you might utter before sukkahs won't help. It remains, as we said before, having a type of sanctity on it. The Gemara asks a question, lasts a number of lines, and that's why I have the triangle with the point facing up as part of our give and take. The sukkah de mitzvah loi, and a sukkah of the holiday of sukkahs, a tanai, doesn't help. V'hat tanya, we have the following tanaic source. This Tanaic source features sukkah decorations. And it says, Sichicha kilchisa, I covered my sukkah with schach properly. V'itra b'kromim uvestinim etziorim, and I decorated it with different types of decorated cloths. V'tolobo, and I suspended from the roof sukkah decorations. Egoizim shkelim afarsikim rimoinim, nuts and almonds and other kinds of afarsikim fruits and rimonim fruits, parchila novim, grape clusters, yenus, shmonim vesiltos, wine, oil, and flour. They were, the custom was to have little bottles of wine and oil and flour would be decorative, the atros shibolim and other kinds of sheaves that were used to decorate. Osir listapik mehen ad botzoi yom tov ha'achron shel chag. Ordinarily, one is not allowed to draw from them until the end of Sukkot, until motzoi yom tov ha'achron shel chag, I mean, until after Shemini Atzeres. What do we see from here? We see that these decorations become part of the sukkah. And it says, ve'im hisno aleim akolufi tano. And yet, if he makes a condition, a stipulation, that he intends to use these decorations during Sukkot, in other words, he says, I'm not separating myself from these decorations, he would be allowed to draw from them on Sukkot. So what do we see? We see that these decorations that seem to be botel to the sukkah, and they become like the sukkah itself. If you stipulate that you intend to use it, you are allowed to use it. So then why did you say so assuredly before that when it comes to the sukkah's hachag, the stipulation regarding the wood use would not be effective? The Gemara answers, Abaye v'Rovo de Amri Travayu, they both say, Ba'omer eini boidel mehem kol bein hashmoshes. With regard to the sukkah decorations, he's saying, I do not separate myself from them. Bodel, like the word havdolah, is to keep something separate. I don't remove myself from these decorations. In other words, I consider myself having access to them during the onset of the holiday. All bein hashmoshes, the lochola kedusha layo, that prevents the sanctity from setting upon those decorations. Aval atzei sukkah, the chola kedusha alayhu. But with regard to the wood of the sukkah, the schach, the reeds that are covering the sukkah, the sanctity sets on regardless of any stipulation you might make, because in order to draw from the roof of the sukkah, from the walls of the sukkah, you'd be oiver, you'd be in violation of stira, of diminishing from a structure. So there it's not similar to the case of the decorations. Removing a decoration doesn't involve stira, doesn't involve the malacha. It only is an issue of, do you allow the sanctity to set upon it? But in the case of the atzei sukkah, the wood of the sukkah, there, in addition to the issue of sanctity by virtue of the holiday setting in, you've got an issur stira as well. And as a result of that, the Kedusha is Chal, the sanctity sets upon the sukkah wood, the sukkah structure, against your will, so to speak. And Iskatsoi L'Shiva, and it therefore becomes Muktzeh for the entire holiday of Sukkot. Since upon the onset of Sukkot, at Bein HaShmoshes, at the beginning of Sukkot, it was inaccessible to you, it remains usur all 7 days. The Gemara asks, Umay shno meho di itmar, what is different about the Sukkah that you're saying that once the Kedusha sets in at Bein HaShmoshes, it becomes usur for all 7 days, and yet when it comes to the Esrog, we don't say the same thing, the Esrog of Lulav and Esrog fame on the holiday of Sukkot? What do we see? De'itmar hifrish shiva esrogim l'shiva hayomim. A person designated 7 esrogim, each esrog for a separate day of Sukkot. Omar Rav, Rav tells you, kol achas v'achas yitzibov v'ochel altar, with regard to each esrog, so you use it on its designated day, and as soon as you use it for the mitzvah, as soon as you finish taking it in the act of the mitzvah, you can go ahead and eat it. Rav Asi Omar, kol achas yitzibov v'ochel l'mochor. Rav Asi says you use each one for the mitzvah, and you're allowed to eat that one the next day. But whether you're Rav or Rav Asi, we don't say that it remains muksa, that the esrog remains muksa for all 7 days. So what's the difference between the esrog and the sukkah of sukkah fame? The sukkah, that means of the holiday of Sukkot. The Gemara answers, Hosam, in the case of the esrog, de mifsiku leilos miyomim, the nighttime with regard to esrog is not time for mitzvah fulfillment, for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. So the nighttime separates each day, making each day a separate entity. Kol chad v'chad yomo mitzvah ba'apei nafshehu. Each day is a separate mitzvah unto itself. In the case of the sukkah, the lo mifsiku leilos miyomim, there is no difference between day and night with regard to sukkah fulfillment. Sukkah fulfillment is binding whether it be day or night. One is expected to eat in the sukkah, to sleep in the sukkah. So the night time does not present a separation between each subsequent day. So therefore, kuhu Yoima kechada yoima arichta domi. All 7 days are, in a sense, like one long singular day. So whatever was applicable at Bein HaShmoshes, namely the entrance of the day, that status remains for the whole day. In the case of Sukkot and the sukkah booth of Sukkot, that day is a 7-day unit of time. There's a Rashi that I'd like to look at, just the second line from the bottom. Rav Asi Omer Yotzeh Bo V'Ochel Mochor. At this point, the Gemara was asking, what's the difference between the Esrogim, which we say is not Osir for all 7 days, and the Sukkah, which we say is Osir for all 7 days. So the Rashi says, the Kevon Diskatsoy the Benash Moshe, Diskatsoy the Kuliyoma. We say with regard to the Esrog, once it becomes Osir at Beinash Moshes, it's Osir for the whole day. Poatzi Sukkah Nami Kevon Da'ani Da'asni Alayo Lenos Mehem B'chol Shemoyed. With regard to the Sukkah wood, once he makes it Tanai to benefit from it on Cholamoyed, Kefrisha L'Yom Rishon Dami, it should be no different than the case of the Esrog that he set aside for 1 day. Umishum De Beinash Moshes Kamo Kodesh Ko'amris Tisasoy L'Shiva. And yet, as a result of the first Bein HaShemashes at the entrance of the Halei of Sukkos, he said that the Sukkah booth was Osir all 7 days. Why the difference between Sukkah and Esrog? And the Gemara had answered, because the nighttime, in the case of the Esrog, separates each subsequent day from the previous day, so that the prohibition that set in at Bein HaShemashes lasted only for that 1 day. However, the wood of the sukkah, which is restricted as being part of the mitzvah of sukkah, which applies both by day and night, the 7 day unit of time is considered like one long day. Hence the sukkah status at the setting in of sukkahs, which we saw the kedusha is chal upon the sukkah bal korchach. That Kedusha lasts for all 7 days, and therefore it's different from the case of the Esrog. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.